Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We thank you right now, Lord God, for the word.
Yes.
Oh, my God, we thank you for the word that's coming. Thank you for that touch
thank
right
you,
now, Lord
Jesus.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I pray,
Lord, right now.
Just come before your throne, oh God. Just
thank you, Jesus.
Kiss the Have your way, God. Have your way. Have your way. Have your way, God.
Have your way.
In the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, my God. I love you so much, Lord. I love you so much. I love you so much. Thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm. Father, I just ask you today, God, that right now, God, we just thank you for the word that and the songs that have gone forth and just the testimony, the prayers, oh, God. And we just thank you this morning, oh, God, that we have an opportunity to come before you in your presence, oh, God. Come before your throne of grace, oh God, just to be able to come before you, God, with thanksgiving. God, we thank you this morning for just everything that you've done. Oh God, Jesus, thank you, God. Oh God, I thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Oh God, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the outpouring of your anointing. Have your way, God. Have your way. Thank you, Father. God, thank you for moving me out of the way, God, and just you take control. Just have your way. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Ooh, Lord. Thank you. Oh, God. Oh, God, I thank you for this time of just be able to just say a word for you, oh God, just to be in your presence, oh God, just to be in your courts of praise, and God, just to be in the place of worship, oh God, and just to know that you are powerful, almighty God, and just have it in your way. And God, I pray that we would just be hearers of your word and doers of your word, oh God, that we will receive the word. God, thank you for holding this morning, oh God. Thank you. Thank you for the power of the Holy Ghost. Thank you. Oh, God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I thank you right now for righteousness, oh, God. Thank you. Oh, God, I thank you for this place of worship, oh, God. Thank you for our church family, oh, God, Free Spirit Worship Church. Thank you for what you're doing to our family, God. Thank you for deliverance. Thank you, oh God. Thank you for the overcoming power today in the name of Jesus. Oh God, thank you right now, God. Just take it. Do what you do best. Because we can't do it, but you can, oh God. Do it good, oh God. Do it right in the name of Jesus. Thank you, oh God, for everyone under the sound of my voice this morning, oh God. And God, you just do your thing, oh God. Do it in us, oh God. In the name of Jesus. And God, we know that you've been moving by us. You've been showing yourself up, oh God. You've been showing us through signs and wonders, just as the scripture has declared. And God, we just thank you for it right now, God. We thank you for the greatness that you've been. Thank you, oh God, for keeping us during this time. So have your way right now in our ears, oh God, in our hearts. We receive it today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Wow. Oh, my goodness. It's getting gooder and gooder, as they used to say down in the South. This thing is getting gooder and gooder. I don't know about y'all. I just keep coming expecting God to do even greater. Each week, I expect God to move in even in a greater way, not just through me, but through you too, you know, and just through that we were just let go and just let God just have his way. And I tell you the truth, it's just that so much is happening and the enemy is trying to steal our joy. He's trying to steal our peace. And some of you, he's already stolen that from you, but you must still hold on to the God's unchanging hand, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I tell you the truth, it's just like, oh, my God, my God. We're in this series of stewardship. And I, as I was studying, you know, I came across some stuff. It's so much about being a steward, you know. It's so little that's actually said about it in the Bible. But the thing is that through reading, you find that basically it's God, Jesus was a good example of being a steward, you know, but he's just being accountable, you know. And I guess that's the real thing that's coming out of all of it is just being accountable. And today I'm supposed to be talking about social stewardship. And I want to say this, boy, that was one of the hardest things to find. You know, I'm like, why? Well, I said, why couldn't I get the one that says, you know, like just a steward of just the church or something, you know, social stewardship as I begin to start studying this, let me read some scriptures to you first. And I just want to read some scriptures to you. And I highlighted them in the Voice Bible. And I want to go back to the key scripture first. And that was out of Genesis 1, first chapter, verse 28. That's on page 3 in there. And you can go right here to Genesis 1 in the beginning. Your good Bible that you have. Miss Jackie, you should also have it too. But you can also look on my book too. And normally I would have printed it out, but this is the key, one of the key verses. And then I want to read some other couple of other scriptures, and then I'm gonna go to my little notes that I got that I have highlighted certain things that I'm gonna points that I want to touch on. And I'm not gonna be here long. And I pray that you get what God has for you. And how many of you want to be a steward? You understand what it is about social stewardship. I mean, you know, I know you probably never even heard that before, you know, and I say social media, you're social media. It's something similar to that, but, you know, outreach and stuff like that. But I'm going to give you a definition. But let me read this out of Genesis, the first chapter and verse 28, number 3 in the page 3 in the Voice Bible. And it says, then God blessed them and gave them this directive. Be fruitful and multiply. Populate the earth. I made you trustees of my estate to care for my creation and rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and every creature that roams across the earth. And that's a direction that God has given. That was a directive that God had given. Man, he told God, he said, look, this is what you got to do. Now, I want to read out of this, out of Matthew, the 25th chapter of Matthew. And I want to read a couple of verses, Matthew 25th chapter. And I want to begin at verse 14. That's 1190 in your Bible, Voice Bible. There we go. Verse 14. Okay. All right. Y'all ready? I know everybody's probably mute. Just give me that. Yeah. Y'all ready? Okay. All right. And it reads, verse 14 and verse 15. I want to read verse 19. 19. Yes. And then I'm going to go down to verse 24. 26, 27, and 20, right, finish that item up. Okay. Verse 14 says, this is how we will be. It will be like a landowner who is going on a trip. He instructed his slaves about caring for his property. Verse 15 says, he gave five talents to one slave, two to the next, and one to the last slave, each according to his abilities. And then the man left. And verse 19 says, eventually the master came back from his travel, found his slave, and settled up with them. Verse 20 says, the slave who was given five talents came forth and told his master how he turned five into ten,
And then the master handed him the whole lot over to his master. He said, excellent. Then you go down in verse 24. Finally, this one here. Finally, the man who had been given one talent came forward. And he says, that's verse 24. And verse 24. And then he says, master, I know you are a hard man, difficult in every way. You can make a healthy sum of the others when others would fail. You profit when other people are doing the work. You grow rich on the back of others. So I was afraid, dug a hole and hid the talent in the ground. Here it is. You have it all. You have. And the master was furious. Okay. And then then it goes on to say, excuse me, my eyes. I just put some drops in my eyes not long ago. And he was furious. You are pathetic excuse. You are a pathetic excuse for a servant. You have disproved my trust in you and squandered my generosity. You know I always make a profit. You could have at least put this talent in the bank, and then I could have earned a little interest on it. Take the one talent away and give it to the servant who had doubled his money, and the five to ten. In verse 29 says, you see, everything was taken away from the man who had nothing, but the man who had something got even more. And verse 30 says, as for the slave made no profit, but buried his talent in the ground. His master ordered his slave to tie him up and throw him outside into the uttermost darkness, where there will be a miserable mourning and great fear. And may God add a blessing to the reading of the word. Okay. All right. Now, I know it reads differently in the King James Version. We already know, you know, about the talents and everything like that, you know, the 10 talents, you know, 5 and 5 and 5. And I remember a time back years and years ago when Pastor Don and I, we was in church and the pastor did a parable. He did the same parable, but he used the membership and he gave out, I think it was $100 to one person, to some people. He gave $50 to some people, and he gave us 10. You know, we was the one of ones that we said we'd take $10, meaning one. So it was like 5, 5, 5, you know, so that's how it was done. And you take the money and you do something with it. But you know, we had no idea what we were going to do. So we prayed to God and God gave us an idea of what to do. But I want to talk to you. I'm going to elaborate on that just a little bit more in a few minutes. But I just want to kind of like give you an idea, just a little idea about what it's meant to be social stewardship. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Social stewardship. And the thing about it is that y'all haven't heard that before, right? Nobody heard that word before, social stewardship. Nobody. I know. Yeah. And the thing is, trust and believe, me neither. I didn't either until I got to this point. You know, when I got my little subject, you know, I was like, oh, wow. You know, social stewardship. Oh, that is the stewardship of people. You know, of course. You know, I know about dealing with people. You know, and being in a place of, you know, being in ministry as long as I have been, you know, and all the people that I've been involved with over the course of time, that knowing that, you know, I was stewardship over people, you know, that, you know, I just took it as, you know, just the fact is that I was just doing what I believe God told me to do, being able to touch people's lives and what have you, you know. But it even goes further than that. It's a point of commitment to the place where are we really committed, you know, to the cause of doing the work of the Lord, you know. And I mean, and Jesus was like, being the Son of God, I mean, he did so many different things in the time of his here on earth. But yet and still, we didn't call it stewardship. We just called it as Jesus performed miracles. You know, Jesus went out and just did this. But, you know, but social, as I begin to start looking it up, let me see, I got a definition I want to read to you right quick. And then I'm going to pull out my little notes that I got, yellow page. And I did a little try to find some type of definition that I can give to you other than just telling you about stewardship. But and it came up with creative social stewardship. And all it is to break it down to a simple point, it's just about just, to me, it was like doing mission work. You know, it was like being a missionary, you know. It's like we're doing with the food bank and different things, and reaching out to the homeless and, you know, and what have you to that degree. But let me read this to you. This is out of just a definition that I have out of the sun.com. It says, through creative social stewardship, we can integrate people with each other, people with their natural world, people with their natural world, and people across this discipline to cultivate connection, ecological thinking that nurtures social culture, sustainably practice. Now, also, it comes up to be social stewardship is increasingly being recognized as a component of natural and global security. It is closely related to the objective of human development, social development, and human security, in addition to the responsibility use of natural resources. It includes long-term effort of enhanced social stability. So in other words, I took it as believing to the point that we are in, like it says in Genesis 1 and 28, you know, God has given us He didn't give it to us. He loaned it to us. He to take control and cultivate what God has given, what he had created. So we are supposed to care for his creation, you know. And the thing about it is that, okay, I can say, well, okay, well, so that's it. So you say, Pastor, am I supposed to be a farmer? Could be, you know. Yes, you could be a farmer, you know. That means we're plowing the earth, you know. Of course, as he told us that, you know, if we plow, we take care. You know, when he formed man, he told him, he said, subdue the earth. He said, subdue it, you know, but he said, also take care of it. So I got to thinking, I said, well, you know, with all the different things that we have seen in society from the time that we were babies up until the time of knowledge where we are right now, we've seen our earth just become more. It used to be a point, I used to remember when I was a kid, I used to go outside and I see water shooting up from the ground like a sprinkler on the ground, but we didn't have a sprinkler, but it was called dew. Y'all remember that? Remember that? And you walk outside, you don't want to get your shoes. You walk outside, you don't want your shoes to get wet, so you want to stay on the pavement or you want to stay on the dirt, because if you walk in the grass, your feet going to be soaking wet because the dew coming up from the earth. We don't get that no more now. It just comes down, rains hard, you know, but we used to have, you know, and it was something. And I used to look at it, and I was like, man, you know what? What is this? How is this? And I used to ask my mom. I said, why is the water coming out of the grass? And we don't have no sprinkler system. We don't have no irrigation pumps or none of that stuff. I said, why is it like that? You know, and she says, yes, that's just God's handiwork, you know, which I didn't know what that meant. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, and then as I got older, I come to realize this was how God did the earth. He watered it around, watered the ground. Now, what he did for us, now we're doing the same thing. We get out, we have our homes. I'm just using some examples. We have sprinkler system. We get out there, we sort of plant seeds on the ground. We take a spray wind, do all this other stuff. So when you come home, you look at your, when you drive up in your driveway, you see your beautiful lawn. I remember I used to be like that when we had a house out in Portsmouth. Man, when I first got that house, I did the yard. My kids would take. I had the yard. I had the grass so green, looked like a carpet. You know, I was so proud of myself. You pat myself on the back. I'd be out there with the water hose at night, soaking the grass down. You know what I'm saying? Because we ain't got no water coming up in the ground at night like it used to be. So we got to get out there and squirt it. We taking care of the earth, you know, and that's what we're doing. And I really kind of got to see him that. We have to take care of what God has loaned us, has put it in our hand. God has given us this earth. He's given us this life, our lives. And we have to take care of it. You know, we have to cultivate our own life, you know. And I mean, I've read so many different things. And I was like, oh, man, I got excited about the fact after I got into it. And I said, like, OK, here's what is stewardship according to the Bible? A biblical worldview of stewardship can be consistently defined as utilizing and managing all resources God provided for the glory of God and the embeddement of His creation. So, in other words, we manage everything. That's what it's being a steward. We just take care of everything that God has given us. You know, it's not about how God has blessed me, what God has given me, but it's about what God has given me to be able to give to others. You know, without being selfish. You know what I'm saying? Oh well, you know, I got this. I'm gonna keep just like the dude that like the two took and did. They did what they had to do. They doubled what they had. They doubled what they had. But the ones they buried his. I think he wasn't wrong about for burying his. He buried it in the ground for the sake of this. He's going to take care of it. He, when the man come back, he'll be able to give him back what he did. So he didn't use it. He didn't do nothing. He didn't abuse it. He didn't do anything. You know, and it's just like some of us. God has given us. He's given us the ability to use, given us gifts and ability to use, and we're not using it to the fullness of his glory, to glorify him. You know, we do what we do. Oh, yeah, well, you know what? I'm a pastor. I'm a bishop. Call me the bishop. You better call me the bishop. You know what I'm saying? Because that is my title. But call me the bishop. Your bishop don't mean nothing. Don't mean nothing. You know? And the thing about it is that, you know, God has given us people. And I, you know, I think about it. I say, you know, God, you know, when he spoke to me about the ministry years and years ago, back in 1977, you know, I was only saved like 2 years. Man, only 2 years I was saved, and God began to start speaking to me about ministry. But he had begun to start dealing with me before then, before we even got to Mississippi. You know, God was dealing with me in my bedroom. Every night he was speaking to me about people. He was showing me all these people that I would be speaking. I didn't know it was me that was speaking to all these people, but it was multitude of people. You know, and I'm like, wow, this is a diverse group of people. Who is this person that's preaching to these people all night long? And I come to find out it was Jesse Gray Jr. That's who it was. That, you know, it's a multitude of people, bro. They are a multitude of people. I ain't spoke to that many people, you know, but those nights that I laid in my bed and I prayed before I went to bed, and God began to start speaking to me. He began to start showing me in parts of what was going to be, you know, and hasn't come to pass, but I still have to keep on cultivating what he's given me. I have to still keep on cultivating the gift and start growing in what God has given me to grow in. You feel what I'm saying? And so the thing is that God is, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm just like, well, I don't even know what I'm going to say today. I don't know what I'm going to do. But God is, I've given you word. I put word all inside of you. Word, you are full of the word. You've been studying all these years. Just get back and let me just do what I do. You know, but the thing about it is that we have to get involved in what God has called us to do. And regardless of what level you're on, you're called to do something. And that call, it goes back to where I think about, okay, well, our mind is with people, you know. And the last thing Jesus said, look, he said, before I go away, he said, you're going to do greater works. He told you, he said, you're going to do greater works. Man, you know what? Look at yourself. Are you doing greater works? Are you really doing greater works? Man, you scared of the coronavirus? The corona got you scared? Like me was like, I remember me when it first came out, man, she was like, oh, you know, she wasn't playing. You know what I'm saying? She was not playing when this stuff first came out. But God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of sound mind. He told us that greater works when we do. We can lay hands on our own self. I got the mask already on me. I ain't got to worry about it. You see what I'm saying? But the thing about it is what stuck with me was that since I got to deal with people, you know, stewardship of people, is that Jesus said, look, this is all I want you to do. He said, now that you got what I got, I want you to go out and make disciples out of men. That's what he said. Go out and make disciples. Go out and transform people. You know, speak to people and watch they transform. Just tell them your story. You know, hey, listen, you can't plant no seeds if you don't have no seeds to plant. Okay, so if we're gonna reach out, and I mean, we got ways. We have YouTube, we have Facebook, we have Twitter, we have Instagram, we have Facebook, we had MySpace, we had all these things before. And guess what? How we used to use them? We used to use them as for social contact with one another, you know, meet and greet and all this other stuff. It started out even like I remember when this stuff first came out, social media first came out. I didn't want to mess with that stuff, you know, but it got to be pretty cool. You could, hey, I can talk to a friend of mine over in another country. With my friends go out, go overseas or something like that, they're in the military. Guess what? We can MySpace. You know what I'm saying? That's the one I remember. Oh, no, blackplanet.com, you know, started out with the thing with us as being good people. We was able to connect with one another. I'm talking about social, okay? Social contact, dealing with people. We were able to just go out and just go and do different things. And, man, it was like, wow. I can talk to Neek, I can talk to Linda, I can talk to John. We was on MySpace, blackplanet.com, and then it became really bad. It was really blackplanet.com because it went straight to the pit of hell, you know, just like everything else. People end up using it the wrong way. But we have to stay on focus. We must maintain that focus and just continue to do what God has told us to do. You know, whether we see any great results right then and there, we still have to stay focused. I think about it. I say, you know, and we know where our Pastor Donna was, man. She was focused. She was focused. Cancer didn't have her bound. She had cancer bound until she decided she wanted to get let it go. I'm getting up the ghost. That's what she did. And I said, I'm getting up the ghost. I done did what I had to do. I done cultivated the land. I done did this. I done touched this line. I done touched that line. I done did where and I never even left the country. Never left the country, except for when we went to Bahamas and stuff. But never left the country. We went shopping. We was on vacation. We was just having ourselves a good time. But we didn't minister, preach to nobody during those times. But never left the country. But look at all the people that she touched. Look at all the lives that she touched. You know what I'm saying? But see, the thing about it is that we have to get to the point. We can't bury our gifts. You know, and leave it in the hole. And then when Jesus come back, we say, oh, well, you know what? God, I know you called me. I know you chose me. I know I'm supposed to have done that. I'm supposed to have sung like song. I cannot sing. I can't sing. I can't talk. I mean, I'll tell you the truth. I used to not be able to talk neither. I used to be quiet like my son. He's very silent. I didn't say too much. He said, the Holy Ghost got a hold to me and loosened my tongue. My tongue got loose, you know, and I didn't even know. And next thing I know, I couldn't stop talking. And begin to get better, you know, got better and better, you know, as we go. But we have to get to the place where we stop using excuses and begin to start letting God just use us. You know, I think one of the greatest things that done happened to me is Zoom. I mean, I just like, man, we got this church. We have virtual church now, you know, and I go inside the building. I miss the building, but I go inside. I'm thinking about how good God has been. God has still kept us and we still can feel the power of God. And even though we're on TV, you know, we're not in each other's home. We, you know, Neek is in Carolina, you know, David's on off of College Park Road and John's New Jamestown Common, Portia in North Carolina, Jonathan in New York, you know, and on, you know, Connie and Sharon and Connie in Norfolk. Linda, Virginia Beach, we all over, you know, we over here at the courthouse, you know, but we all over. But look, we are right able to touch one another, social. And the thing about it is that we take out the gift that God has given us to the place where we just have to just say, okay, God, I don't care. You know, however you want to use me. If I don't be persistent in it, then I'm a fail. But if I fail, that don't mean I lost. That don't mean it's over, you know. But if I take it, do like that other dude did, and the other slave, the last one did, take my gift and put it underground like I did once before, guess what? God didn't have to do what he did for me. He didn't have to allow me to come back. You feel what I'm saying? He did not have to allow me to come back. He could have just left me out there. You know, when I stood up in front of the bridge, over at the edge of the bridge, and I'm looking over, looking in the water, I'm ready to jump. You know, or the gunman had the gun right to me, ready to pop me with a pistol, even with a bullet. I could have been gone, but God said, nope, I got work for you. You've been chosen. You're a steward of mine. You know? Now, I pronounce goodness upon your life. I pronounce greatness upon your life. You know, I need for you to go and share what God has done. I need you to share. Couple more minutes. Okay, Luke 16:11. That reminds us that the person who sows sparingly, y'all know about that, will reap sparingly, and the person who sows generously will reap generously. Okay, each person should do as he has decided in his heart, and not relenting or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. We know that scripture, right? We know that. You know that. We just got to do what God tells us to do. And the thing about it, folks, you know, one of the things that kind of bugged me the real most is that, you know, the coronavirus has put a damper on the church. I really believe it has, to the point where some people, not everybody, don't get me wrong, not everybody, but because some people, you know, it has gotten to the place where it has put them in a point where they fell off. I mean, it's no other way to put it. You know, where they at? You'll see them up here. They have plenty of opportunity to come. We've been doing this for a year. For a year. You know, and the thing about it is that, you know, how hard is it to click? You don't even have to leave your home. You don't even have to get dressed up. You can put a top shirt on, a top shirt on, and a pair of shorts and slides. You know, you can click off the audio. You can click off the video and just be on the audio. You don't even have to be seen. Like most folks right here, they done clicked off. Some of them don't even never click on. You don't even get to see them. Some of the folks, that's okay. You there. You know, and the point is, you are there, and that's the point. And being that you're there receiving the word, now it's time for you to take the word and take it out. Because it's been ordained for us to go out and make disciples out of people. That's what it's been. That's our charge. That's what we've been chosen to do. In other words, folks, you be a missionary, you know, evangelize, if you might want to call it. But some people, you need a title, you know. But I just want to be a servant. That's all stewardship is. It's just being a servant, you know. So what I have, it don't belong to me anyway. This is God's earth and the fullness thereof. So if ever I'm going to be a part of anything, I need to be a part of this. I need to be on point with God so that I can receive what God has for me, so I can be a blessing to Sister Jackie. So I can be a blessing to Sister Linda. So I can be a blessing to Sister Rebecca. So I can be a blessing to Brother John, to Jonathan, to Portia, to Kiana, Patrick, to Becky, to Sharon and Connie, to Nee, to myself, last, David, and but me last. Because that's my job. That's my charge, you know? It's not about me. Y'all, oh, yeah, this is Pastor Jesse. You gotta take care of him. You ain't got to take care of me, because God's going to take care of me. Trust and believe, folks. If you believe in that somebody's going to take care of you, you better wake up. Because if you don't trust God for taking care of you, you know, yeah, that's what you got to do. Look at it, folks. I can't go outside because of coronavirus. Some people ain't even left their homes yet. Still, a year later, they ain't left their homes. Oh, no, they did. They go to work. They go to work. But they don't come to church. They go to work, but don't go to church. They go to work. They go to church. Go to work. Don't go to church. But yet and still, I love the Lord. I love you, Lord. And I live you. But yeah. But they go to work, but they don't go to church. They go to function, but they don't come to church. I'm just praying. But if you weren't praying through before when you were going to church, how you praying? Where you getting your strength from? See, you turn around, bury yours under the ground like this other dude did up for the third slave did, took and put his gift under his talent. And you know what? And I want to say something, but say something. You know, that bag of gold, that one talent that he had was an equivalence to $1.5
million.
$1.5 million.
He was rich.
$1.5
million. We put money on Lotto, Quicko, and stuff like that, trying to get that point of money.
I calculated a person that makes $20,000 a year, it takes you 60 years to make $1 million. 60 years to make $1 million. But you can't spend none of it. You got to put it in a bank. You got to bury it. Every day you get paid, you got to put it in the ground. Every day you get paid, you got to put it in the ground. Every day you get paid, every week you get paid for 60 years. 60 years. But if you do what God say do, you'd be a good steward to him. Hey, guess what? You go out there and touch his people. Guess what? I heard a preacher say this morning, and it was so funny, and I just want to say this because it just came to my mind, is that he was telling a story about this preacher. He was preaching, and this guy didn't believe it. He just didn't believe in him. He didn't believe in God, you know. But he didn't believe in this man, but he was going back to see the man so he could make a mockery of him. And so he went, got off the plane and went, and it was a lady that was sitting there, and she was holding hands out like that. She had both her hands out like this, and she was just sitting up there. So when the man saw her, when he came out of the terminal, saw him sitting there, he had two oranges, right? And he took and stuck the orange in one orange in each hand. And so when he came back, he was trying to play a trick on the lady because he thought she was asleep. I guess he was going to play a trick on her. So he walked and came back out. And when he came back out, the lady was eating orange, right? And he was like, why are you eating orange? You know, and stuff. And she said, thank you. So the guy, she said, thank you for giving me the orange. And he was like, what are you talking about? He was like, yeah. She said, I was praying and I dozed off a little bit and there was two oranges in my hand. So I just ate it because I need the orange. The orange would give me the energy that I needed because right now I was about to pass out because I was feeling seasick, you know, and stuff. And he was like, because they was on a cruise. And it said she was feeling seasick. So they said, well, God comes in, he will come through for you when you least expect it. He will use whatever he has to use to get his point across. So, and the point I'm making is that God will not only use us as Christians, but he also use the world too to push his stuff through too. But I just want to say this. I want to say this to you guys that you have to just continue to just trust God. Social steward. What is it? What is it? Social stewardship. It's an increasingly being recognized as a component of the natural and global security, which I already read, is closely related to the objective of human development, social development of and human security, in addition to the responsibility to use in the natural resources. It includes long-term effort to enhance social stability. And so, in other words, it brings us to a place where we become, what do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? What do you think you are? It's a question. Who am I? What am I? What is my purpose? You know? Where am I supposed to be? Huh? It's the increasingly being recognized as a component of natural and global security. So, in other words, I'm a police for Jesus. I could say that, you know. I'm police for Jesus. You know, call me captain, sergeant, lieutenant, whatever, you know. So, in other words, it is just the fact is, it's just us just doing what God is telling us to do. Webster describes it as conducting, his stewardship is a conducting, supervising, and managing something, especially being careful and responsible, of something entrusted to you. That's not your, in other words, you are entrusted, and God has entrusted all of this to us. He has put it in our hands, and he said, take it. To do it, take it, grow it, take it, produce it, take it, make it better, take it, save it, preserve it, use it, you know, to glorify him, you know, not for your gain, but for him. Because if you gain it, then it's not going to grow. If you want to put yourself in the equation and not put him in the equation, then you're not going to grow. It's not going to be good for anybody. It's like, and Jesus come back, he said, well, what's up with this fig tree? You know, it ain't doing anything. Say what? He says, curse it. And went on and died, you know? So, I mean, so we don't want what God is. We don't want our gifts to just die. I'm thankful today that God didn't allow me to die out there, you know, when I was there. I'm so thankful, you know, and you might take it. I don't take it for granted anymore for what God has done for me, you know, and just where he's taken me, you know, and, you know, this journey that I'm on now, you know, it's just not, it's been crazy. It's been wild. But yet and still, you know, God has chosen me out of all, you know, to just deal with people, you know. And I know that this is my charge, you know, to deal with people, you know. So I'm going crazy because I can't do what I believe God has called me to do. I'm trying to figure it out in my head, and my head is swelling up. You know, y'all might not see it, but my head feels like it's just getting fat and fat and, you know, like Brainiac or somebody, you know, and stuff. Just getting big, and I can't, I can see it, you know, but God is just, he let you see it, but it's just stuff just trying to burst out of me, you know? And I know that it's just the fact is that he's chosen me to do a work, you know? I don't have to do it in the building. Over at Sunshine Drive, you know, I do it every day when I'm just wherever I might be, you know. If you with the little money that God has blessed me with, I use it. You know, God said, "Who he tell me pay people stuff, give people this," and I'm like, "God, do you know?" Oh, okay. Because at one time I used to be like, "No, no, no, no." And Pastor Donald B, she was like, you know, this is before we became where we are, before we pastors. She was like, yes, yes, yes. Take and give. We don't have it. I mean, y'all sit there, you know, with the honesty, truth, you know, when you only got, you know, when we was on checking system, you know, before we got to the debit card, you know, we was on check system, you know, you can write a check out. And you put it, you can go ahead and buy groceries, and you know you got 3-4 days before that money get to the, before they get to the bank. So you can catch it, hopefully, you know. And so you could say, you know, you get to the place where you say, well, we only got a few dollars in the bank. We got to use this. That's how I was, you know. And I mean, not that I wasn't a giving person, you know, or anything like that, but it's just the fact is that, you know, I thought about taking care of my family first. You know, my family gonna eat first. You know what I'm saying? And God was like, no, I'm gonna take care of your family, but you gotta take and do what I told you to do first. You know, I said, you say, feed my sheep. Now understand this, it's just not when he say feed the sheep, it's just not talking about just giving them food. You know, you might have to take your money and pay somebody's rent. That's your mortgage. Your mortgage might not get paid this month because God says, "Pay, take care of this." This is where we're talking about. Where you're talking about social stewardship. You have to say, go beyond what you're used to. You know, you're looking at the TV and you see them little kids with a swollen up stomach and everything like that. You don't want to send no money. You're like, well, you know what? Pastor Jake. He He's already sending. He already sending money to this. I don't have to do that. But God is beckoning your heart to do this, or just the fact is just taking just adopt some type of program, you know, and not just trying to just get yourself rich, because we are already rich. If you don't realize that, we already are because of God. He says this is His earth, and the fullness thereof belongs to Him, and we are His children. You know, and as crazy as it may be, as long as the people was in Egypt, and they was not the Israelites, they was in Egypt, but they came out rich. How you gonna be a rich slave? How is that? What happened?
I say, well, God, what happened to us? They say we were slaves. Well, we ain't got none. Some of us, you know,
it's all about what you believe, folks. It's all about where you are. You know, my son said something to me that touched me the other day. We was in the truck, we was talking, and he said, Pa, he said, you know, I thought about something. He said, you, in your time, as long as I'm in my 39 years of living, he said, I've known you to, you have touched a lot of people. You have touched a lot of folks in my time, as far as I know. He said, all over. People have listened to you. He said, I don't even know how you did that, you know, because it's not like you were so educated, you know. I mean, in a high school diploma, I didn't graduate from no college or university like my kids did, you know. Like some of you, y'all got college degrees and all like that, you know. I didn't serve in the military and travel all over the world like some of you did, you know. I didn't have the luxury of even traveling in a lot of places like some of you have. I just got stuck in a lot of places where I was, you know. So I had to rely on God, and God said, well, you would touch a lot of people. And he brought it out to me the other day. He was like, Dad, I'm going to say Dad. He said, Papa, you know, you did. You touched a lot of people, and you still are, you know. Even when you weren't even in the church, you were still touching a lot of people. Everywhere you go, you touch somebody's life. He said, you know, and I was like, and I didn't think about it like that. And I guess that was like, could have been like social stewardship. That's what it was. That's what it is. It's just like, we have to let it. You know, we sang a little song, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to let it shine, let it shine. We're going to let it shine out, you know. And that's what we got to do. We got to continue to be a light, you know. And no matter what goes on in our life, no matter how tough things is, you know, is that we have to just trust in the God that's in us. I don't care if you got a little light, because guess what, folks? If you got a little faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, speak to the mountain and tell it move. Okay? You know, I constantly lay hands on myself, my body, because the doctor said that these things in my neck are not getting any better. The things in my back are not getting any better. Legs get to being still. Some days are better days than others. You know what I'm saying? But I just thank God for Jesus, because I just keep right on going. I drive down the road and I struggle to get out of the car like I'm 150 years old, barely can make it. Oh my God. I'm like, oh God. Woo. That's it. I'll be talking to folks on the phone. They'll be saying, you all right? Yeah, I'm fine. I'm just trying to get out the car or in the car. You know? Yeah. I need a car with doors that come up. Wings like wings, you know, so I can just slide on in. It's just, and I'm not a big guy no more, but it just sometimes it seems like I'm just, I don't know, but I just say, you know, but as I get going, I just say, thank you, Jesus. And I just keep right on going and move on to the next situation. But I just want every day to be a day where God is being used. God is using me for His glory, that I'm reaching out and touching somebody's life, you know. And I know that no matter what, so at the end of the day, do I get a prize? It doesn't matter. It don't really matter, because you know what? Guess what I just did? I breathed in some good air. Guess what I did? I was asleep and I just woke up, you know. Somebody didn't wake up. Somebody wasn't able to breathe, you know. So I'm thankful every day that I can get up. I might be in pain, but I'm going to tell somebody about how good God is, you know, And guess what? If I tell them long enough, the pain gonna go away. I'll be gonna forget about it, you know, because they got happy and I didn't got happy. Just like I did this singing this song, I got happy because I just thinking about what God, how good God is. I love Him so much now, you know. And I mean, the love I have for Him is just crazy, you know. See, and now I know that I'm better, I'm stronger, I'm able to endure, you know. And no matter what happens in my life, I'm over the other stuff, you know, and I'm into the new stuff. And my mind is being transformed, not renewed. The transformation is taking place, has taken place. So, yeah, I can see better. I can think better. I can do everything better, you know. And regardless of where I am financially, intellectually, I'm good. Because you know why? Because spiritually, I got a PhD spiritually. I got a spiritual PhD. I got a doctorate degree in holiness. You know what I'm saying? Oh, God just rests inside of me. And I feel His presence every time I move in His presence. You know? His presence resonates all over me, just like He does with you. So, yeah. I might not graduate from Norfolk State, ODU, Harvard University, like some of y'all, but I got my diploma, I got my degree, in social stewardship. I got mine. So I thank God for Jesus. I think I went a little bit longer than what I did. I didn't even read that stuff, but I thank God for Jesus and Franklin for the Holy Ghost. And we want Father in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. I pray right now, Lord God, that we said something to encourage our people, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And God, that we will just go out and we will just share. Because you made disciples out of us, oh God. And we cannot be apostles until we become a disciples, true disciples, oh God. And then the transformation of apostleship comes automatically because we just flowing in your spirit. Thank you for your anointing, oh God. Thank you for your power right now in the name of Jesus. And God, we just love you even more. Hallelujah. We're going to want to know you even more, oh God. Thank you for investing in us, oh God. In the name of Jesus, may God, we just pray.